strange about how fast time flies. Now have one son with a driver's license and another one with a permit. Took him a little while to get it, but he got it, praise the Lord. That's all right. But, you know, we don't have a lot of time. And those of you who have children, you know that it seems like you're watching them come out of the hospital. And then you're watching them graduate. And it's just amazing to me how fast time flies. I can remember as a father, you know, you say, why are you telling these stories? Because they're just near and dear to my heart. I can remember standing there when Colton was not yet born. Matter of fact, we were all there in the hospital, and her mother and father had just left to go get some dinner, and they said, oh, she's only at so many centimeters, it's probably going to be 6 or 8 more hours. And I left the room and got out of the labor and delivery unit and I was calling home to my grandmother, giving her some updates, and I heard somebody running down the hallway behind me. I said, what in the world's going on? I don't typically run from people, but this lady was in a hurry. And she said, Mr. Barlow, if you're going to see your son born, you better follow me back. I'm like, we got to run that fast? Hopefully not. But we made it back, needless to say, and now it's just a miracle and amazing to see how grown up they are. It happens so quick. But I can tell you this, it's a joy in my life to be a dad. And I appreciate that. And if you're a father here this morning or a father figure, as we talked about earlier, listen, God loves you and appreciates what you do for the people in your life and the kids in your life. You know, I was raised by my grandparents, and I tell people all the time, I had a lot of mamas and daddies growing up. You know, they were everywhere. They weren't necessarily my biological ones, but I had a lot of people in my life that influenced me, a lot of men in my life that helped me get to where I am today by the grace of God. So I thank God for every one of them. And let me challenge you. Call them if they're still here and tell them thank you. Call them and tell them thank you. I know some of you would love to be able to call and say thank you. But young people, listen to me. Tell your mom and dad you love them. Because in just a moment, they could be gone. Tell your grandma and grandpa you love them. You're not promised tomorrow. But this morning, I want to ask a question, simply this, to us fathers, and honestly, there's mothers in here. We're preaching to everybody. But what is more important to you, your Isaac or your God? What is more important to you, your Isaac or your God? Go to the book of Genesis, chapter number 22, if you have your Bibles. If you have your Bible, say amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. They do that at the camp. They do an amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah offering. And the way it works, if somebody drops a quarter in the offering plate, the person who has the plate says, amen. If somebody drops a dollar, they say, hallelujah. If somebody drops a $5 bill or more, they say, praise the Lord. And it goes on for about 10 minutes, and it's a good time. But look, I'm very grateful to be in church this morning and thankful that we're here meeting in a comfortable place together. Father, would you bless us this morning now? I just ask you, Lord, cover this place with your blood. Bind the devil off this place. Lord, have your will and your way. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. Lord, help me to, Lord, fill me with your spirit this morning. Help me to relay the message that you've given me to be relayed this morning. God, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you've allowed me to lay some Isaacs down in my life. And Lord, I know, according to your word, there should be nothing in my life more important than you. Not my wife, not my kids, not my mom, not my dad, not my husband's wives. Lord, I fear today, Lord, that we have some things and maybe even some have some people in their life that are just more important than God. And I pray this morning, God, that you'll reveal that to them. And at the end of this, Lord, would you please have your will and your way. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. What's more important to you, your Isaac or your God? The Bible says in Genesis 22, verse number 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. Notice those words. Those are very important. We'll go to that in a minute. Thine only son. How many knows Abraham did have another son? Everybody okay with that? But we'll get to that in a second. Whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told them. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now picture this as a dad. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father, he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said this, My son, God will, what's that next word? Provide himself a lamb. How many knows he did just that? He absolutely did just that. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay, what's his next words? His son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh means this, God will provide. Listen, you pay attention to what the Bible said there in verse number 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. You know what? He had some faith even on the way up there. You say, how in the world could a man have faith if God said, I want you to take your only son up that mountain and I want you to offer him a burnt sacrifice? Well, I'm glad you asked that this morning. The Bible says, thine only son. You might say, well, what about Ishmael? How many knows who Ishmael is? That was one of his sons. But he wasn't the son of the promise. He had another son. Go to Genesis 21. I just want to lay this out for you here this morning. Genesis 21, verse number 9. The Bible says, And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his what? Now, how many of you know, even though this wasn't the promised son, Abraham still loved this boy? After all, it was his what? How could he not love him? Think about what Abraham's going through as a dad right now. God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman and all that Sarah hath said unto thee. You know, God didn't use the words, let it not be grievous because of thy son. He said, let it not be grievous because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman and all that Sarah hath said unto thee. Hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. No doubt this caused Abraham some pain as a father. He knew what it was like already to lose a son. He had already sent Hagar and Ishmael off, and God did give Ishmael a promise too. And if you do your study, he said, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. If you'll do your study, and you'll realize that's where we get the Muslim nation from. Everybody all right with that? That's the Muslims, okay? They're the ones that are anti-God. Did y'all hear what I just said? They're anti-God. They're not for God, they're against God. Say that back to me. They're not for God, they're against God. They're anti-God. Notice verse number 12, "For in Isaac shall thy seed be called." God was ensuring Abraham here that no matter what we do, God, no matter what we do, God will have his will be done. Can I say this? Sin hurts. See, it was never God's plan. It was never God's plan for Abraham to have Ishmael. Did y'all hear what I said? But Abraham said this, "Well, God, you told me I was going to have a son," and we're going to read it here in a minute. Abraham laughed and mocked God when he said, "Oh, you're going to have a son," blah, blah, blah. So instead of just believing, Abraham said, "I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll go sleep with one of the handmaids because she can probably bear me a son. If God's promise is going to be fulfilled, I better take this into my own hands and make sure God's not a liar." Y'all hear what I'm saying here? That's kind of what Abraham was doing. Look, if God said it's going to happen, folks, it's going to happen with or without you, with or without me. God don't need any of us. Now, he desires for us to serve him, but God doesn't need. God has everything. What faith it must have took for Abraham to take his only son Isaac and agree to offer him as a sacrifice. I think here God was trying to see if Abraham loved God or loved Isaac more. Go to the book of Genesis chapter 17. I love how the Bible tells you a story. Many times I've heard this very subject preached on, but very few times have I heard people go back and help people understand how in the world, look, it would be tough for me to for if God came to me and said, "Hey, I want you to take one of your sons and I want you to kill him." That'd be tough for me. But if God had already made me a promise, y'all hear me? If God had already made me a promise that out of that son was going to become a great nation, generations were going to come out of that son Isaac, Abraham must have been thinking something. Well, God told me a few chapters ago that Isaac's seed would be many. But if I kill him, then God's a liar. How many know God's not a liar? See, I believe Abraham all the way, we read it in verse number 5, "I and the lad are going to go worship and then we're going to come back." I don't think he had a doubt in his mind. And old Isaac looking up at his daddy, "Daddy, are you actually going to do this?" "Son, God will provide himself a lamb." And he did just that. But look at Genesis chapter 17 in verse number 15. The Bible says this, "And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, or Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." Then Abraham fell upon his face, and what did he do? The Bible says he laughed. Now who's he talking to? God. He laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" Now, how many of us would probably laugh at that also? Because that just doesn't traditionally happen. But guess what? Neither does being born of a virgin. But it did, if you believe your Bible. "Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." In other words, Abraham's like, "Look, God, I already have Ishmael," but God's like, "Abraham, that's not the promised son. You had Ishmael in your flesh. You had Ishmael outside of the marriage bed. Y'all with me here? He cheated on his wife, whether she agreed to let it happen or not. The man cheated on his wife. Y'all with me? That's called adultery. And the father of the Muslim nation was born." Hello? Anti-God. "Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant. And with his," what's the next word? "After him." Meaning only one thing. Isaac's going to have some children. Y'all with me? Ain't that what the Bible says? "And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. See, I think God on that mountain that day wanted to know, Abraham, do you love me or do you love Isaac? I could picture it like this. God, you know I love you. But God, I know I've sinned. And I went against my marriage. And I got Hagar pregnant and she had Ishmael. And God, I did love Ishmael. I really did. He was my son. And I've already lost him. God, don't you remember the promise you made? All along I could see God saying, you're getting it, son. You're getting it. You're getting it. I could see God saying this. You're getting the promise. You're starting to remember. I'm still God. I change not. I can't lie. I'm here to do good for you. This will be tough. God had already made a promise. Abraham laughed at God, but when God revealed the promise, I don't think there was any more laughing. I think it was total honor and praise to the Lord, and maybe embarrassment on the father's behalf for doubting God. This morning, as a father, it would be hard for me to imagine loving anything on this earth more than my wife and my children. And if you're a father and you're married and you have children, I'd say you probably say the same thing. I don't know if I could love anyone more than that. But I wonder when push comes to shove, do I love them more than I love God? Here's the reality. Without God, I would have no wife. Without God, I would have no sons. Without God, I would have no daughters. Without God, I would have no church. Without God, I would have no home to live in. Without God, I would have no vehicles to drive. Without God, I would have no food to eat. Without God, I would have no clothes on my back. Without God, I would have no shoes on my feet. Hey, you know what we need to realize this morning? Without God, we'd have a whole bunch of nothing. A whole bunch of nothing. God is looking for someone who will love Him first above anything else. Look at the book of Luke chapter 14 this morning. Say, preacher, I can't love anything more than God. Not if you're going to serve Him to the capacity that He would like you to. I'm going to show you how dead serious Jesus was with this thing. And don't get mad at me this morning. God said this. Luke chapter 14, in verse number 26. And He used some strong words. And again, don't take the word out of context and say, well, you're telling us to hate our family. No, I'm not. I'm telling you to love God more than them. I've told you before, I have people in my family that I love dearly and I pray for all the time, every day, sometimes multiple times a day, that I cannot fellowship with simply because if I do, I'd be out of the will of God. They won't fellowship with me because I won't do some of the things that I used to do. Y'all all right? You say, what about your family? Well, what about my family? Hey, I have a God in heaven who I have to answer to one day. I'm not going to answer to my family. I'm going to answer to God one day for the things that I've done on this earth, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Here's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, verse 20. Let's look at verse 25. And there went great multitudes with Him, Jesus, and He turned and said unto them, if any man come to Me and hate not his father and mother and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he said this simply, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not hear or bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able to, with 10,000 to meet him that commanded, or that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus used these references here saying it like this. If you think that you're going to jump into this Christian walk this morning, and daddies, listen, I'm talking to us now. If we think as fathers that we're going to jump off into this Christian life and we're going to be the daddy that we need to be, and I'm telling you this, God knows your children better than you know your children. God fearfully and wonderfully made those children. He created those children into His likeness and His image, and He did not give them the daddy He gave them by accident. He did that on purpose, and He did not give you the son or the daughter that He gave you by accident. He gave you them on purpose, and He wired you and He made you and He designed you exactly who you, how you needed to be to serve Him and to be the best father and to be the best dad and to be the best man that you could be for those children. But here Jesus gives some analogies. If you think that you're going to do all that and have things in your life that come before Me, you're a fool and you cannot be My disciple. It won't work. We try to make it work. See what these Isaacs do in our life? They weigh us down. It's kind of like this. Go outside and run a lap around the parking lot. And then grab a 10-pound weight and run a lap around the parking lot. And grab another 10-pound weight. Some of you say, that ain't no problem, preacher. Oh, it will be. It'll eventually catch up with you. Put a parachute behind you and start running. That's what Isaacs do. They slow you down. Because they become more important to you. That thing that's in your life, that sin that so easily besets you, is so much more important to you than God. You say, preacher, I don't love my sin more than you love God. Yes, you do, or it wouldn't be in your life anymore. You absolutely love your sin more than you love your God, or you'd get rid of that sin. You say, well, I can't. Oh, yes, you can. By the grace of God, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Hey, you know what you're doing? You're relying on you, not relying on the power of God this morning. The Isaacs need to go. It's time for the Isaacs to get out of our life. Preacher, how could you say I don't love God? Well, my Bible tells me something else. I'm glad you keep asking these questions. I wonder, would you be willing to lay your Isaac down this morning, realizing that God has already provided Jesus Christ for you to cover your sins? And by the way, you need nothing else. All you need is Jesus. I can't stand it when people sing the song, "All to Jesus I surrender, except for my pride, except for my ignorance, except for my arrogancy, except for my traditions, except for my sin, except for everything that I care about that's more important than God." You don't surrender anything if you don't surrender all. God's in the surrendering all business. Hey, how do you know? Because He gave everything for us. He gave His only begotten Son done. You say, I love. What have you given? Love gives. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The only reason you and I can have eternal life, can have everlasting life, can have salvation, can have joy, can have peace, can have joy unspeakable and full of glory, the only way we can have that is because God gave it to us. And you chose to accept it. And many of you still are holding on to your Isaacs. Meanwhile, God's given everything for you. Many of us sit here and know this truth this morning, and yet we still have Isaacs in our life that we're not willing to get rid of or not willing to let go. As a father, I can say this morning, it would be my desire for my sons and my daughters to serve the Lord. You say, well, why would you say something like that? Well, but I also this, as a father, I wonder if my children have saw me be faithful to something other than God throughout my life. Y'all with me? Hey, they're watching us. They're watching you. All them 20 or 30 kids that just ran out the doors excited to go learn and make Father's Day cards. And it's a blessing seeing those young people, isn't it? Does my heart good. But they're watching us. We are the example that God has given them. And folks, if we're walking around with Isaacs holding us back, some of your Isaacs might be fear. What do you mean, preacher? I mean this. You might be scared to publicly talk to somebody. But that's not true, because you talk about hunting and shopping and fishing and getting your hair done. But, well, I can't talk about Jesus. Hey, if you had Jesus in your heart, you'd talk about Him. The Bible says you know them by their what? Their fruits. And by the way, that's biblical. That ain't Drewology. That's Bible. I wonder if they saw me put things before God. I wonder if my children saw me put people before God. I wonder if they have saw me put my own thoughts and my ideas before God, not acknowledging the fact that God has a plan the entire time. See, it was not God's plan for Ishmael. God had to get Ishmael out of the way. Y'all see what I'm saying here? It's true. This morning, no doubt, there are some in the building that have Isaacs in their life and they need to be laid down. Someone just pulled up at the front door and there's a truck parked right in front. Can you check that out, Brother Ricky? Appreciate it. I don't know what's going on. It's okay. This morning, no doubt, there's some Isaacs in our life that need to be laid down. There's some who have things in their life that they love more than God. Hey, I wonder this morning if you'd be honest, would you just say, hey, preacher, I'll be the first to raise, thank you guys, I'll be the first to raise my hand and tell you the reason that song breaks my heart every single time I hear it is because often I realize that little things creep into my life and they may not be bad things. You understand? They don't have to be bad to be against God. They just can't come before God. If those little things are more important than God, listen, the little things in your life should not dictate your Christianity. Your Christianity should dictate the little things in your life. Did y'all hear what I just said? Because of who you are, that's the reason we don't let those little things in our life. And like I said, it might not be bad. I remember growing up, and I know some of you disagree with me here, but that's fine. I've been disagreed with a lot. That's okay. I disagree with other people too. That's okay. We all have opinions, right? But here's the deal. Growing up, I can remember playing ball a lot. But my grandparents set a rule for me. You're not playing on Sundays. And I can remember this one time. We had an all-star game. And the game was on a Sunday. And I'm like, what am I going to do? Well, my grandma said, you're going to church. I said, well, the last time I skipped church, I about lost my finger. See, I remembered that. Had I been in church that Sunday morning, this thing right here wouldn't hurt every cold morning. Y'all know what I'm saying? Oh, you can? Yeah, I can, because that happened on a Sunday during church where I should have been. I wouldn't have had no chainsaw cutting logs at church. See, that wasn't God's plan either. That's a remembrance right there. That's what that is. That's a token. Y'all with me? But she said, you're going to go to church. Now, it didn't used to be where they scheduled anything on Sundays and Wednesdays. Y'all remember those days? Where Sunday, I mean, I remember days even back then, at Friday nights even, when football games were going on, businesses would shut down because everybody's going where? To the ball game. Businesses used to shut down on Sundays. Why? Because everybody's going where? To church. Now, we schedule everything on Sunday. Here's what we have to identify. Who's behind all that? That's the devil trying to keep God's people out of the house of God. And man, he's real good at it. I go up to some of these tournaments that my boys, I'll play travel ball and cast, and I'll talk to guys, and I love it when they tell me, you know, oh, we go to this church, and I'm a youth pastor, and I'm like, well, I hope you're not a paid one, because I know where you're at every Sunday. While I'm preaching at church, you're at the ball field. Oh, well, we only do that during the spring and fall. We go to church every Sunday during the winter. Well, good for you. You know what you need to do? Lay that Isaac down. Because in heaven, a single, double, triple homer ain't going to get us there. Ain't going to be none of that. Ain't going to be no strikeout kings up there. Last time I read my Bible, the only people that's going to be crowned in heaven is them soul winners. Hello? He that winneth souls is wise. You say baseball's bad? No, baseball's not bad. But when it comes before God, it's bad. Anything you put before God, and hey, by the way, God pays attention to that kind of stuff. He pays attention to that kind of stuff. There are some who have things in their life that they love more than God. It may be simple things, but let me tell you something. If it's taken away the joy and the peace of God in your life, it's an Isaac and it needs to be laid down. So again, Daddy, do you really love God or do you love self? The answer is clear. Look at the book of Matthew chapter 7 and we'll be done. Matthew chapter 7. Miss Barb, if you'll come on to the piano this morning, I'm almost done. If you'll play that song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. She begins to play this morning, Matthew chapter 7 in verse 15. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. Matthew chapter 7 in verse 15, the Bible says this. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Again, this is our Savior speaking. You shall know them by their what, church? Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth what? But a corrupt tree bringeth forth what? Evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. This piano is going to begin to play.